This is News and Notes. I'm Tony Cox. Many GOP faithful celebrated Senator John McCain's choice of Alaska Governor Sarah Palin as a running mate last week. The timing of that announcement was designed to build momentum heading into today's kickoff of the Republican National Convention. But the GOP gathering will take on a subdued tone now. The potential impact of Hurricane Gustav has scuttled plans for the week-long event in a major way. It's the first time a force of nature has interrupted a national political convention. For analysis, I'm joined now by NPR senior Washington editor Ron Elving. Hey, Ron.
Good to be with you, Tony.
Let's start by listening to a clip of John McCain, who announced the changes at the convention or regarding the convention yesterday.
We are facing a great national challenge and the possibility of a great national natural disaster. So, of course, this is a time when we have to do away with our party politics and we have to act as Americans. So we're going to suspend most of our activities tomorrow, except for those absolutely necessary.
This is a planning nightmare, is it not?
Yes, it is. Obviously, any kind of a convention wants to be as clockwork as possible, wants to get in absolutely every single lick that they had planned on, and this is going to prevent them from doing their first night as planned. In fact, there really is no first night. They're just going to have a few hours of a business session that's going to be begun and finished before primetime begins tonight, and so essentially they have ceded over this first night, conceding that this will be Gustav's night.
Now, what they lose on the first night were planned appearances, I believe, Ron, from President Bush and Vice President Cheney. There's been discussion, both positive and negative, about how what the impact of that is going to be.
You know, I think it's a bad thing for the convention, and I think it's a bad thing for the Republican Party that they don't have a night in which they can recognize and acknowledge their own president and vice president. I mean, that's just it's not just a violation of tradition. It's something that's been a big part of every presidency. At the end of that presidency, he is saluted and acknowledged at the convention of his party, and that's just not going to be possible this year for the reasons that are quite obvious. And, of course, at the same time, it has to be acknowledged as well that Dick Cheney and George Bush are not particularly popular figures in the country as a whole right now, and there's that other side of not having them here.
Now, the three major networks have diverted their news anchors to the hurricane region. We're seeing wall-to-wall storm coverage there. A lack of media attention, obviously, is going to be the impact in Minneapolis, where, in fact, in St. Paul, in fact, News and Notes is affected by that as well. We had extensive coverage planned. We'll be hearing from Farai today about that in just a few moments. My question, though, is how that impacts the party and the convention not having access to that primetime media that they really wanted.
Certainly, you'd have to say that the modern convention has come to be more about the media coverage than about any kind of business or decision-making, because that's all been done before the convention begins. So as we were observing last week from Denver, it's really a kind of celebration. It's a demonstration of what the parties feel they represent, and it's an attempt to connect with the American people. All day long through the cables and at night in at least 1 hour of primetime coverage through broadcast television, telling the American people what they're all about, advertising their wares as parties, if you will. And at least for the first night, at least for this one quarter of this particular convention, that's just been lost. So obviously that's a huge loss.
One of the things that has happened that the Republicans may or may not be able to take full advantage of is the fact that the new vice presidential nominee has already paid off, literally, with a $10 million bump in donations to the party since her on the announcement of her inclusion on the ticket. And a second part of this, and I'd like to get you to respond to both, is that Obama, meanwhile, coming off of what many had considered a very productive and successful Democratic convention, showed literally no bounce in the polls so far.
And I don't think that's terribly surprising. I think that the nature of the polls in this particular election year is such that the two candidates have been tightly fixed around a number, which is 45, and one candidate or the other goes up. Usually it's Barack Obama goes up a few points, and then the other candidate comes back up, and they come back down to joining at 45 again. That seems to be the conjunct point. And we've seen that dynamic now for some weeks between these two candidates, and I think that what benefit that Barack Obama might have otherwise gotten out of this convention, his convention rather, would have to have been said to have been done in to some large degree by the shift of attention to the Republican choice, which as a surprise took over the news and as an interesting, dynamic, mediagenic personality person kept taking over the media conversation for the next two or three days and then lost it to Hurricane Gustav. So I think at this point we have seen the Denver convention subsumed in two other much larger, much fresher rather, news stories, and so that has dimmed its effect.
Another potential impact, Ron, of the inclusion of Sarah on the ticket is the unity issue. Going into the Democratic convention, there was a great deal of talk about the disunity between the Obama and Clinton delegates. But coming into this one, it appears that Palin has perhaps brought some unity to the convention with regard to the evangelicals.
That's right. John McCain has never been a favorite of the evangelical wing, or if you will, the social conservative religious wing of the Republican Party. They would look at his voting record and see that there were scarcely any flaws in it. He's been as pro-life as anyone could be. But he did cast a vote in favor of stem cell research, and that particular vote was not popular with that community. And there's also been some suspicion about the way some of his campaign finance reform legislation affected the advertising that's done by the social conservative movement. So with all of that, they had their doubts about John McCain. So they were hoping that he would choose a four-square, absolutely committed, social conservative, religious person as his vice president, and he did, and that's where the bump came from.
Now, here's a question. It's showing up in online and in papers today, and there's no way to avoid talking about it, nor should we, I don't think. And that's whether or not the pregnancy of Sarah Palin's daughter has an impact either on that issue with regard to her social conservatism or the support for her in the party and beyond.
I don't think it will have much effect on support for her in the Republican Party. Certainly among her advocates and supporters, this is going to be seen as one more reason to rally around the Palin family and their decision to carry this particular out-of-wedlock pregnancy to term. That will be a very popular decision among her supporters. That is what they would tell Bristol Palin to do, and that is what she has chosen to do, and therefore they will be very approving. And again, I think that this kind of thing, where it stresses the image of the family with its family values and so forth, teaching abstinence and so on, while it stresses that, I don't think that it undercuts the message entirely at all. And there will be some who are perhaps not Palin supporters or people who are independent voters who will take another look at all of this. But I don't think that it's going to affect her base of support.
Ron Elving, thank you very much.
My pleasure, Tony.
Ron Elving is NPR's senior Washington editor. He joined me from NPR's special studio in St. Paul, Minnesota.